Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
All right, what I want to do, I want to jump into a message that I've been kind of sharing over the weeks, but really I want to jump back to about 4 weeks ago. The message I have or I had was, how will they know? If you want to turn to Exodus with me, we're going to start off where that message went. Exodus 33. In Exodus 33, I shared this story 4 weeks ago where Moses, they're about to continue to go to the promised land. And he has a conversation. And this is a conversation that he has with God after God's been showing up in the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, I should say. He's been showing up there. And Moses is basically, he's wondering who's going to go. And the Lord literally promises an angel will go with you. And Moses is not satisfied. And we'll pick it up, Exodus 33, verse 13. It says, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way." That's a prayer that I'm praying a lot right now. "Lord, show me your way, that I may know you, and that I might find grace in your sight, and consider this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." What a beautiful promise. Verse 15, "Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known?" And that's why I said, how will they know that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are on the face of the earth. You know, it's really easy to take that scripture and go, if you're not careful, you can go, well, we're superior because we're separate. Absolutely not. We did nothing to deserve it. We did nothing. The only thing we did was actually receive Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. He's the one that paid the price on the cross. He's the one that purchased us. He's the one that his blood sets us free and redeems us. But that is the separation that we say, Lord, Lord, I want your glory in my life. And the point of that message was, I said, how will they know if God's presence doesn't go with us? We looked at Mary and Martha because there was distraction and there was fear. And it's like, no, the presence of God when he is with us should change us. So we should be the ones that are in the storm and we are full of peace. And the people say, man, what is it about you? How will they know? You got to come with us. I'm going to say that this message seems to be very simple in wording. And I realize that for thousands of years, we've been trying to get this right. I want to bring today up another how will they know? Because I believe that his presence has to go with us. His presence, like we can do nothing. We could go to John and we could look at the fact that, you know, Jesus said, I can do nothing except what the Father is doing, except what the Father tells me to do. And, you know, we could look at the vine. If we're cut off from the vine, we can do nothing. Like it is impossible to walk as a Christian without being connected to God's presence. It's impossible. One of the things I want to remind you, it says in verse 17, "So the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." So he's asking God to come, and he says, Moses says, "Please show me your glory." And I love the fact that God's answer is, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." Moses says, "Show me your glory." And the Lord's response is, "I'm going to show you my goodness." Why? Because the goodness of the Lord is the glory of the Lord. And if you turn to the next chapter, in chapter 34, you know, I look at it this way. What is the goodness of the Lord? Well, he describes it. And God literally describes it himself in verse 6 of chapter 34. "And the Lord passed before him, and he proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth." Moses says, "God, show me your glory." God says, "I will let my goodness go before you." And as he passes, he declares, "Hey, this is my goodness. It's my mercy. It's my graciousness. It's my long-suffering. It's abounding in goodness and truth." So in my mind, when the goodness of the Lord shows up, when the glory of the Lord shows up in a service and his goodness is the glory, then this should fill us, right? His mercy should begin to expand in us. If his presence is here and he's in us, we in him, the goodness of the Lord should begin to burst in us. And that goodness should be, again, it should be merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. And I'm saying that because we need this to get to where I'm going. And I've talked about this scripture. Turn to John 17, and then we're going to dive in. I believe there are two how will they knows. There's probably many more, but the first was, unless your presence goes with us, how will they know? But Jesus in John 17 says another thing, how will they know unless? And this is Jesus, chapter 17, verse 20 says, I do not pray. This is him in the garden. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me and through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. How will they know? God's presence. And I'm going to just spend time unpacking this. God's glory is with us. And because of his glory, which is his goodness, which is his mercy, which is his graciousness, which is his long-suffering, and then now you take it to the next level with the covenant of God that Jesus actually came and now has made himself one with us, he's basically praying that we may all be one, that the world will know that he sent us, that he sent, that the Father sent his Son. We'll read a little more. And the glory, I love it, the glory that you gave me, that glory that the Father gave Jesus, I have given them. You hear that? We've actually got the same glory now. That they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one. Think about that. That we actually can't even become perfect unless we're in unity. Oh my gosh. We got a long way to go. And that the world may know that you have sent me, you have loved them, made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. According to Francis Chan, did you know? So we read this, and it sounds so amazing, but I think we can all see. Did you know, according to, again, I did not do the research. I did a quick little Google search, but according to Francis Chan, some of you may know, have heard of him, Christianity is the most divided religion on the planet. It's amazing that he's asking and he's praying in the garden. His last prayer is that we would all become one. And right now, currently, Christianity is one of the most divided. A lot of religions have two or three sects of that religion. Christianity has thousands. There are main ones, but there's constantly breaking off. And I look at this, and that's why I said it's going to be easy in words, but it's going to be so hard. It's been so hard for thousands of years to put this into practice. But I believe that the world is waiting to see a unified church. The reality is, Rod, are you and Karen always in agreement? It's Mother's Day. That's a very dangerous question to ask. The reality is that we don't have to always be in agreement to be in unity. That's the reality. But I believe there are some keys, and I want to show you today, in my opinion, that we have got to get back to a simple thing and a profound vision for us to walk together in unity. God wants us to walk together in unity. Amen? Amen. All right. So you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it. We know Matthew 6. How do we get to this unity? How do we find our way to a place where the world would begin to go, wow, they are unified in seeing God move upon this earth? There are some things that are happening right now, and I know a few of the musicians, Rod, you might have seen it too, Andrea. There are actually some things happening right now amongst Christian musicians, and I've talked about this before, that I think are shadows of unity to come. It's amazing to see how much music's being produced, and it's funny because it's Maverick City with Upper Room, it's Upper Room with Bethel, it's Bethel with Elevation Worship, and you see this unlikely thing happening, and it is absolutely beautiful. I spent time last night and I was watching some of the videos of an album put out by Maverick City in Upper Room. And of course, Maverick City, I think, is an inner city. So there's a lot of mixed Latinos and African Americans, and then you get a bunch of white people from another church, and they're all there, and they're all just going after God in unique ways to their culture and how they live and where they live. But it's this beautiful sound, and I thought, man, this is what heaven's going to sound like. You can hear even different languages at one point. Of course, there's tongues, and you can hear Spanish, and you could hear just regular English. And I thought, this is what heaven's going to look like. If we could figure it out, we should probably try to figure it out, because we're going to live together forever anyway. And we should figure out how to live it here on earth. In Matthew, I want to talk for a second. I've been pondering, you know, we know our Father. And we often look at the point that it says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. This is Matthew 6, if you want the address, 9 to 15. He says, this is God praying. And they're like, the disciples, how do we pray? And he says, pray like this. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I always think of it this way. Whatever the culture is in heaven, whatever is going on in heaven, Lord, teach us to bring that culture here to earth. There can't be unity if we try to live on the earthly culture. We have to have a heaven culture to have unity. It really, in my mind, is impossible. If we don't start going, Lord, what is the culture of heaven? What does it look like? How do you function? How do you operate? Then we'll never have unity. I want to kind of vacillate between the two, not vacillate, but go back and forth between the fact of God's presence and what I'm going to say is a mandate that we're missing. What I'd like to do for a second, and I'm going to do a lot of scripture today, so just kind of bounce around with me, because I want to say first, what is the heaven of God? What is the culture of heaven? So turn to Isaiah with me, and I'm going to share two scriptures that I believe give us an idea of A, how do we go after unity? And B, what is the culture of heaven? Because you cannot have unity without the culture of heaven. Unity has to come from something. Unity has to come from, I said turn to Isaiah. Let me give you the address, Isaiah 6. I want to read, as you're turning to Isaiah, I want to read something that got me started on this that was shared, and I just thought, this is it. This is from Francis Chan. Just keep your hand in Isaiah as you listen. Francis Chan said this, and it stirred my heart. He said, the more we neglect our mission, the less chance we have of seeing true unity. Our common mission is supposed to lead us towards unity. Our common mission is supposed to lead us towards unity. Francis Chan, his wife is named Lisa. He says, Lisa and I are united. It's not because we work at it, but because we stay focused on our purpose on earth. We stay busy at our common goals of reaching the unreached, caring for the poor, and equipping believers for ministry. The byproduct of pursuing a common goal is our oneness. Let me read that again. This is Francis Chan. The byproduct of pursuing a common goal is our oneness. This has been true for 27 years of an insanely happy marriage. Unity is a byproduct of mission. Unity is a byproduct of mission. Once we take our eyes off our calling and look at ourselves or each other, conflicts can start creeping in. This has been true of not only us, but also of our whole family and church. Like a marriage that has no purpose, many churches have forgotten the point of their existence. That's powerful. He's basically saying in a nutshell, if we lose our mission, we lose our unity. So it makes me wonder if we are so divided, have we lost the mission of the church so easily? No, I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about the church. Do we get caught sometimes in so many things that are so irrelevant that we miss the whole point of why we're on the earth? And so I want to start, and I want to go back. Let me just, I feel like there's, I want to read a point to that again. because we stay focused on our purpose on earth. We stay busy at our common goal of reaching the unreached, caring for the poor, equipping believers for ministry. The byproduct of pursuing a common goal is oneness. I love that. Unity is a byproduct of mission. And this is what I wanted to read. Once we take our eyes off our calling and look at ourselves or each other, conflicts can start creeping in. I love that. All right, here we go. Let's unpack this. How do we stay in unity? How do we go after unity? How will the world know? Well, let's start with the first point I said earlier. How will the world know? God's presence has to be with us. So what does it look like in heaven with God's presence? Isaiah 6, this is where I want to start. Phenomenal passage in Isaiah 6, starting at verse 1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. So where is this? This is heaven. This is the culture of heaven. And the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two covered his face, with two covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, and weren't we singing this today? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So we have this moment where we're seeing heaven. We're seeing the culture of heaven. And what do we know? Well, we know that there are angelic beings there that are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. They can't stop, literally. They're singing, holy, holy. Because the number one thing is, how will they know, is that we need God's presence. We need the culture, God's presence. And so our response needs to be, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And Steve Schroeder said a word to me a while back, and I thought that's his word for the year. And so, you know, sometimes it doesn't necessarily hit home for you when it's somebody else's word. And as I was reading Isaiah, I thought, I get it. I get his word, because he said, Isaiah 6, 4, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And by the way, it's my personal opinion that I believe Isaiah actually saw the Son of God on the cross. I believe that scripture personally refers to when he cried out. And Isaiah, I think, had a picture of seeing the Lamb slain on the cross. And I think that's why he saw them saying, holy, holy, holy. And we're going to go to Revelations and we're going to see that the elders and the angels, they worship the Lamb that was slain on the cross. And what do they say? Holy, holy, holy. And so what's Isaiah's response? He says, woe to me, for I am undone. That's Steve Schroeder's word for the year, undone. And as I meditated on that scripture, I thought, Lord, when is the last time I felt undone in your presence? When is the last time? And I asked myself honestly, when is the last time you showed up and I felt undone? It's been a while. I've had beautiful moments, but to feel undone. And I believe one of the keys that we need to have for unity is that we need to feel undone a lot more. Because as we read on, he sees the Son of God and he is so in awe of what is happening. And he sees the Lord on the throne and he's undone. And he says, because I am a man of unclean lips. So what happens when you're undone? It's amazing that you look at yourself and you go, oh my gosh, I'm not as good as I thought I was. I have unclean lips. I have an unclean heart. I have an unclean mind. And it's not woe is me. We're like, we're looking at the Lord going, oh my gosh. And I think a lot of times what's missing in the church is the fact that the presence isn't really fully showing up. Because if it does, I think we would be like, I'm undone. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. Who did Jesus go to the house? Was it Zacchaeus, the tax collector? And I don't think at any point Jesus convicted him. But you know what the funny thing is? During the conversation, he goes, I have taken the wrong amount of money. I got to give it back and half my money to the poor. Isn't that amazing? I think he was undone in God's presence. He was so undone in God's presence that conviction hit him and he went, I got to give back. I've been doing wrong. And this is what Isaiah, he says, woe is me, I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And so Here it is, Old Testament, there's an answer for that. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which had been taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. And I also heard the voice, he heard, this is the key, he heard the voice, this goes to Francis Chan's statement, he heard the voice of the Lord, and it said, go. He said, who shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. So what's amazing, the presence of God comes and he's undone. He realizes the condition he's in and he also hears the cry for the people and he says, hey, send me. And I just wonder if we're sometimes missing the presence of God enough in our lives that maybe we're not hearing, here I am, send me. When's the last time you were undone in the presence of God? So undone that you began to go, Lord, I see some of these things. And aren't you thankful that the cross is the new covenant? You know, they didn't all have moments with Isaiah where they had a coal put to his lips, but we have the cross for everyone. Turn to Revelations with me. Let's see what the culture of heaven is in Revelations. Because we want the culture of heaven. We want heaven on earth. So turn with me to Revelations, verse 4. Again, I'm asking, how do we have unity? How will the world know? How will the world know? And he says, if you're one, the world will know. How do we get there? Simple words, but a tough journey that's not been done well for already 2,000 plus years. Revelation 4, verse 2 says, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. This is heaven, the culture of heaven. And he who sat there was like jasper and sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Jump down to verse 8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes, and don't get caught up in the imagery of it, get caught up in what they're saying. Full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, he who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who sits on the throne, and they worship him who lives forever, and they cast their own crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. They are, as the angelic beings worship and say, holy, holy is the Lord. The elders bow before the Lord, and they take off their own crowns, their own authority. They take off all the things that they've achieved, and they lay it at the feet of Jesus. And I think that's a culture of heaven that we're missing here on earth. So easy to get caught up in our own stuff, our own pain, our own needs, our own wanting to be more. You know, we want to do more things. We want to be more successful. We want to have more money. We want to. And I think one of the answers to that is that we need to be undone before the presence of God. And when we're undone, we'll hear the voice, who will go for me? And we'll cast all the things that separate us, all the things that divide us, all the things, you know, you think, you know, for years we divide because we think we're right. Who is right if we all think we're right? And I think, is it time to get back to the simplicity of getting before the Lord and becoming undone? Casting our crowns upon the feet of Jesus. Casting our cares, our worries, casting our divisions. And you know what? This is so easy to say and so hard to walk out when people disagree. But if Jesus prayed it, it has to be possible. And it can only be possible with the Spirit of God. Just a chapter over Revelations 5, verse 11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. The number of them were 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Worthy is the Lamb to be slain. Francis Chan said that unity can only come through having vision. What is the vision? The vision needs to be, we need to tell the world about the one that was slain, who is so worthy. And I think it's hard to do that unless you're having encounters that leave you undone. So I think our cry has to be, Lord, we need to be undone again. We need, and you got to realize, I'm not talking about, well, he needs to come in and show us everything that's wrong with us. I believe that happens when you get into the presence of God. But I also believe you get the Father heart of God. I believe you get the grace of God. You get the mercy of God. You get the long suffering of God. These things begin to manifest in us because we're seeing the Lamb that was slain. I think of times where I know people have left churches or our church or different things, you know. I remember hearing somebody left because, you know, there was a mistake, you know, in a writing on the screen. And I thought, dear Jesus, if people leave because we make a mistake on the screen, how will we ever have unity? We are imperfect people moving towards perfection in Jesus. There has to come a point where we go, you know what? Who really cares about the color of a chair? Is Jesus showing up? That's what I care about. Is his presence showing up? Am I being undone? Amen. Turn with me, scriptures that you know, John 13, verse 34. I'm going to read Matthew as you turn to John. Matthew 22, verse 37 says, Jesus said to him, "What are the two keys?" This is, to me, it comes down to this. How will they know? I've given you two things. How will they know if his presence comes? How will they know if they see unity in us loving people? Matthew says it this way. And Jesus said to them, because somebody asked him, what's the greatest commandment? He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. How will they know? Well, God's presence shows up and we just crazy. We go after it. We love his presence. We just bow before him. We take off our own crowns. We take off our titles. We just say, Lord, we love you. We're so in love with you. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what is that? That's the second, how will they know? They will love each other so well, will love people so well that they'll go, man, look at, you know, God's presence is obviously with them and they love people so well. I either love this or hate it, but it's done something to me. In John 13, it says, a new commandment I give you. This is verse 34. A new commandment I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you. We're supposed to love people like Jesus loved us. And that is a tall order. Jesus was betrayed. Jesus lost people. I start thinking about all that, Rod, and I'm like, there is nothing new. There's nothing new that Jesus hasn't experienced. He was broken. He was sad. He was lonely. We talked, I think you talked about it in the garden where, you know, he needs his disciples to pray and he goes and the humanity of going, my best friends that I've walked with for 3 years can't even keep their eyes open and I'm about to go through the most horrific moment of my life. How betrayed and hurt must he have been? And yet God his eyes back on the king. He kept getting his eyes back on the king. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. I want to share with you two last things as we... The Lord's calling us to take love to a whole nother measure. Josh, you could put that up. I was reminded today as I was preparing for this. This is definitely not a Mother's Day moment, this picture. If anybody's seen this, it's called Hacksaw Ridge, the movie. It's a war movie. And this, to me, It's a moment when he's a man of faith, and he has chosen not to carry a weapon into battle. And he goes, first half of the movie is all about the fact that he has to fight for the ability. They call him a coward. They kick him. They beat him up because he's a coward, and he's not. He just doesn't want to take. He says at one point, I don't want to take lives. I want to save them. And there's a moment in this movie. It's a pivotal moment where he is standing on the top of Hacksaw Ridge, and it's after they've just been totally annihilated, and there's bombs going off, and there are people that are dead and dying, and he's looking, and you see the fire, you see all of it, and he looks into it, and he's so confused. It's just a moment where he looks into the camera, and he says, God, I don't understand. I don't understand. Why is this happening? I don't get it. And then he says, I can't hear you anymore. And in that moment, what's amazing is he hears somebody crying for help. He says, I can't hear you. And in that moment, he thinks he can't hear God, but he hears somebody crying for help desperately. Help me, help me. And he looks and he says, okay, God. And he goes and he runs into the fire. And he begins, and I don't remember the stats. I didn't get that far. I can't remember how many he saves. But every time he hears somebody else calling for help, and he runs in and he takes them and he literally single-handedly pulleys them down the cliff. And after he's done and he's been doing this all night, he's exhausted. He goes, Lord, please, Lord, help me get one more. And I thought, that's it. That's the answer to unity. That's what Francis Chan was talking about. We've gotten so mixed up on so many other things, and we're looking all over the place that we forgot. It's like, you know, we see the flames and we see the fire and we see things happening, and we're like, God, I'm going to speak for myself. God, I don't get it. I don't hear your voice. And what we need to be listening for is help. Help. And then we say, God, give me one more. God, give me one more. And I think we're not saying that maybe as much because, you know, we use excuses like, well, I'm not an evangelist. You know what? We got to lay that down. There are some people that are evangelists. Man, that's all they burn with. And that is so needed. But we need that to rub off on us so we can look at our neighbors and hear help. That we can look at people that we love and we hear, maybe they don't say it, but we just know that they're crying for help. And we're undone by the presence of God. And that's the culture of heaven. And because he's made us so undone, we say, hey, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. And then we go and we touch somebody's lives and it costs us and it's painful. And then we say, Lord, just one more. And we go and we do it again and we get done that. We say, Lord, just one more. Please, Lord, just one more. I know I need that. I'm not saying I have that. I'm saying I need that. I can get so caught up with, like he said, I can get so caught up with the day in and day out. So can you. We all can, of our jobs and the things that we got to do. And, you know, we can so easily get caught up in wanting more of our life, which is really the crowns that I was talking about. You know, and it's not wrong to want to have a nice house and nice things, but it's wrong if it becomes the number one pursuit in our life. Without saying, Lord, give me another one. Give me one more. Give me one more. Pastor Rod, you had this vision on a Wednesday night. When I was thinking about this message, I thought, that vision, there it is. It was so real to you. You say you don't know if it was like Paul, whether you were in the spirit or in the flesh, but this is he wrote it out. This is what he saw on a Wednesday night. He says, as I appeared in heaven, I noticed there was no panic. Huh, culture of heaven, there's no panic. It was as if, and he was speaking specifically at this point because COVID-19 plays into this message. It was as if COVID-19 was not happening on the earth. I noticed something my brain could not see, but my spirit understood. This is it. No one took their eyes off the Lamb. Go back to Isaiah. Go back to Revelation. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. No one took their eyes off the Lamb. They were intently focused on Jesus. Yet simultaneously, they were about the Father's business. I love that. They were so focused on Jesus that simultaneously, they were about their Father's business. That's Francis Chan's words. That they were so focused on what needed to happen, there wasn't time for division because it's like, Lord, give me another soul. They each had an assignment and could even stop and talk with me, but they never lost their focus on the Lamb, but gave me their full attention at the same time. That's so beautiful. I asked, this is Rod in his dream or vision. He said, I asked, don't you know what's happening on the earth? Yes, they said. That has already been prepared from the foundation of the world. Then I noticed there was harvesting equipment and building tools scattered all over the ground. And when I asked why these are there, he said, they have been abandoned. They have lost their focus and have become absorbed with COVID. They have laid down their harvesting tools and have stopped building. Then he turned to me and said, take as much as you like. It's yours for the taking. That vision just reminded me, whether it's COVID or something else in your life, we can get so unfocused. And I believe right now the church is unfocused because we're fighting, in my opinion, for our rights for things. And I think it has to change where we say, Lord, I don't care where I'm worshiping. I really would like to be in the building, but I've chosen to be content and I'm going to worship you at home. But Lord, would you show up so I can be undone? And when I'm undone after singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And I hear you say, you know, who will go for me? And I hear the cries of people that need help that will say, hey, send me. And then we'll go after the lost. And we won't get so caught up in the things that we disagree with. Maybe we won't get caught up at all. And I know it's messy. I wish it was just as easy as that. I know it's messy because we'll disagree. But I think we'll disagree less if we begin to go, every soul needs to be touched. Every soul needs to be saved. I'm thankful Sherry reached out to me to share about Matt because I'm like, Lord, I don't want this to become normal. It's like, Lord, we need to be praying right now for people that are, you know, I can just imagine, I believe his wife has, Danielle, I believe, and has three children at home. Like, my heart needs to break. My heart needs to be breaking for somebody that's in a hospital that has potentially to go on a ventilator with three children at home. Lord, I want to be undone by that so I can get on my knees and pray. And I confess to you that throughout this last year and a half, 2 years, even 3 years, there's things that have happened that have got my eyes off the vision. And I'm saying, Lord, I want to be undone. Help me to be undone once again. Help me to see your glory. Help me to see your presence. Help me to see your beauty like I used to when I'm getting lost in the mire. I'm getting lost. I believe what the Lord wants to do, and I'll close with this. If you've ever gotten on an airplane and it's raining out and it's thundering, you know, and it's like, oh my gosh, taking off and this is going to be crazy. And you're on that plane and you're going down the runway and it's just bumpy and, you know, you're up and down and your stomach, oh, and you're like, this is horrible. You know, I can't see through. There's only clouds. And you know, that's the framing. I talked about that 2 weeks ago. We're framed in the darkness. And then all of a sudden, there's nothing like it when you punch out of the clouds and you see the sun. And you're like, oh, the sun is still out. But I realize there is still darkness all around. Lord, help me to go after, to clear the sky, to make a difference. You know, this can be just another word. And we go on. I want to challenge us today. What would happen? What would happen, Andrea, if we started to say every day, Lord, just give me one? What would happen if in a year, all of us just said, Lord, with the rest of this year, give me one? That all of us by the end of this year could say, you know what? I led and helped disciple someone to the Lord this year. Man, wouldn't that be amazing? And if you get one and they start being discipled and they're really making like crazy gains, then you go, Lord, just give me another one. Give me another one. What would happen if all of us, you know, and we don't do it to go, well, I got homework, I have to go find someone. No, it's like, Lord, help me to hear. I love the fact that he said, Lord, I can't hear your voice. And the next thing he heard was help. And that connected him with God's voice. He knew. He lost sight of his assignment. He didn't know why he was there. And then he got it. Oh, this is why I'm here. I'm hoping today that you're like, hey, this is why we're here. This is why we're here. As we go about our daily business, this is why we're here. As we walk down the street, this is why we're here. Are we hearing help? And are we becoming aware and going, Lord, if I heard the voice of help, Lord, help me to help. And I go back to, it starts with becoming undone in God's presence. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, I pray in 2021, as my friend Steve Schroeder said, his word was undone. I'm jumping onto that word. Lord, I pray, Father God, that your presence would so manifest wherever we're at, and we would become undone in your presence. Lord, I pray at the end of this year, we'd be like, I'm more in love. I'm more sensitive. I'm more like, I want to just say how holy God is, because I had a vision like Isaiah. I saw the Lord and he was high and lifted up, and I heard the voice cry out, and it shook the temple, and the curtain fell, and it opened a way for us to be in his presence. And I'm so excited. Lord, I pray that you'd begin to bring back the simplicity and yet the exuberance of what you did on the cross. Lord, I pray one by one we begin to hear people say, oh my gosh, I was undone. I didn't get it, but now I do. I'm undone. And Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to see the one. Open our eyes to see the one. And I pray that our love would become so strong for each other that people would say, I need to get close to you because I need that love. I need that love. I pray, Father God, you'd begin to overturn the reproach that has been on the church as a whole throughout the world, where people are like, you guys just divide. You guys just fight. I pray that, Lord, because of this, because of 2021, because of 2020, you'd begin to do something so different that people would begin to look at us and want to be a part of what God's doing. We just say, Lord, help us. We want to be undone. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.